Eden Park. I've got mixed views on it just because I don't think you need to expand Origin.
Well, it's bigger than Origin. I mean, it's basically giving an Australian team a chance to win a game at Eden Park for the first time in 30 years. It's no, a guarantee an Aussie team will be a winner.
Zimbabwe's a cricketing powerhouse.
Yeah, played average. We deserved it.
We put a lot of effort into this World Cup and getting the team right. And then the final 11 that took the field wasn't up to scratch for an Australian team.
Australia's such a much bigger country that you'd expect them to win a lot more medals.
Well, the question was, who's going to win more?
Well, obviously you are, because you've got...
Well, you're wrong then.
Just because you got better snow than us doesn't mean you got better snowboarders, mate.
So, Connor, have you got clamp?
Nailed it.
No.
Nailed it.
Right. Mate, can I just say before Welcome we start, to... if you keep sending me photos of you and your togs, I'm going to set you up a Grindr profile. That's inappropriate. I asked you not to do it, and you did it. And old... Peg Me Rick 24 will be up on Grindr before you know it.
Welcome to Sports Cafe. Yeah. Taylor's here, Mark Ellis, Chris Lynn, Connor Watson is at the airport on the way home. So, Connor, I hope you're there. So, big news from the State of Origin. That the first of all, next year's game is going to be in Eden Park in Auckland, and secondly, that they've opened up the eligibility. So, players that born or grew up in Queensland, New South Wales, can play for Queensland, New South Wales, and still play for England and New Zealand. So, that's pretty exciting. And why don't we talk to someone, Connor? What do you reckon about it?
When I first you read the headline, my first instinct was what is this? I don't like the sound of it, thinking that it was just going to be a free-for-all, like everyone could play it. And I seen some comments talking about it being like an all-stars game, but then once I actually read, I guess, the framework of how they can deem someone eligible, or like you understand it more. They're obviously doing it to accommodate those guys who sort of grew up in Australia but have pledged their allegiance elsewhere. And, they are some of the best players in the game. Like you think, sort of Adam Fanua Blake's probably one guy that comes to mind like that. I mean, I think he grew up in Sydney, but I definitely know he was playing for the Bunnies like when he was really young. So like you can get a player like that. Rads, who's committed to England and then now he can kind of do it. And even Kalen too, like I know there's talk about him potentially making the switch to go and represent the Kiwis. So, you having sort of talent like that, not in that game, and the NRL want to capitalize on that. So you do understand it, but I think having those frameworks of what deems someone eligible is important.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. Obviously, I'm biased to just dominant Queensland and New South Wales, born where you're born is what you play for. But obviously, we've seen over the years guys like Greg Inglis, move up to Queensland and been one of our greatest ever players. But yeah, there is a change. But I, Eden Park, I've got mixed views on it just because I don't think you need to expand Origin. I think it grows itself.
Well, it's bigger than Origin. I mean, it's basically giving an Australian team a chance to win a game at Eden Park for the first time in 30 years.
That's great.
It's a guarantee an Aussie team will be a winner.
New Zealanders are pretty passionate about State of Origin. Every time I come over here, they're like, even yesterday, they're talking to me about the Blues or telling me that Queensland's better. Like, so you'd say it'll be a good crowd and it's not too far for sort of friends and family and that to come over. But it is a different move. But they're trying to grow the game, thinking about how do we grow the game, and it's another avenue of doing it.
What do you think? What do you think, Taylor? I mean, is State of Origin something you look forward to?
Yeah, and having lived in New Zealand, for 3 years, every year Origin would come up. My husband and I would stay up, obviously, and watch it. And like everyone in Auckland where we were living was getting around it. So I think it'll be obviously well received over there massively. Why not?
Mate, the first hit up on the first game, that's spine-tingling stuff. The ball goes deep and the prop's just got the glint in the eye and he's just charging at a brick wall. That's the moment. That's when you've got the first cold one in the hand and the excitement's sky high.
I reckon it nearly if there's not a concussion inside the first 10 minutes, that controls the game. So those first few hit-ups are so vital for the series.
Yeah. It used to be good back in the day when you didn't have to use arms, didn't have to wrap arms, so people would be just charging it and shoulder barging and you'd get the Lonergan or the equivalent thereof.
Would have been tough on the wing over there.
Yeah, well, we played in the Origin once. They had a Tri Nations or a Tri thing where they put the Kiwi team in there as well. And so whilst we didn't make the final, funnily enough, despite scoring a try in the last minute, that would have got us into the final, which was disallowed, of course. It was, you know, it's pretty amazing just sort of being close to it. I wouldn't say in it so much as close.
Now, Connor played for the Indigenous All-Stars on the weekend, and Connor, amazing game. And also the build-up, the war dance that the Indigenous All-Star team was just spine-tingling.
Yeah, well, the one that you saw yesterday, we've never done that one before, so that was sort of new. Josh come in this year as, you know, like one of our cultural advisors, our sort of, you know, coach in that space. And to be honest, going into the game, I was probably more nervous thinking about that. Just like, do I remember everything? But yeah, it was great. Like once we sort of got our bearings with it, and I think, you know, it seemed as though people really enjoyed it and it come up really cool. But that's the best part of the week, you know. The game's great, but I think, you know, the whole cultural stuff all week is the reason why you keep coming back and wanting to play in this game. You know, it's it really does make you, I don't know, strong in your identity and proud of your culture. So it was great.
So Connor, have you got Clamp?
Nailed it.
No.
Nailed it.
Can you try another question about Hamilton, please?
Did you go on the paddle boat down the river? Oh, God. What do you say about Hamilton, mate?
Just ask, what did you think of Hamilton?
Okay, what did you think of Hamilton, Connor?
Well, I didn't know what to expect, but a lot of people didn't give it much of a rap. I thought it was kind of like a really big country town, but they, like, the coffee shops were great. There's a couple. The only thing is, on Saturdays and Sundays, the ones, like, a lot of the ones in the city shut. Yeah, but no, it was good. It was good.
Tell us about the LIV Golf, not the side that you were on, but the actual tournament.
Yep.
Like, amazing story of Anthony Kim.
Yeah, it was. Like, as we know, LIV Golf has extended to 4 days now, so they get world ranking points. Anthony Kim, if you haven't looked at his backstory, it's well worth Googling him. And over the last sort of 10 to 15 years, he's gone through the absolute ringer. But going into the final day, he was six, seven shots behind, and then he just got on a roll. I think he birdied the last four holes to win the comp, and you know, nice hefty pay packet, $4.5-5 mil, I think he walks away with. And more importantly, Team Ripper got the job done. So Cam Smith and his boys won the team event.
Mate, just Macca, so in case you obviously don't know, I mean, this is a guy that was, you know, on the tour, and then he hasn't played for 16 years. He had a 16-year break. During that time, he was in rehab. You know, he had sort of years of thoughts. He had some real serious problems. And to not only come back and start playing again is amazing, but to win it was incredible. And to win it the way he did. I mean, this is Anthony straight after the event.
Absolutely. My goal is to inspire the people that are struggling, because I feel like the world needs more of that today.
And just a quick, what is there an overarching message that you'd give to anyone battling a bit, or?
Don't f***ing quit. That's it. Don't f***ing quit.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah.
And the thing was, he got a wild card into the tournament.
Wow.
And then a fellow Aussie, Wade Ormsby, was playing with him as well in the Aces team. So really, really cool story.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, it's great to see people who have gone through adversity who stay the course and you know, the world turns around. I mean, so often you see people drop lip or drop confidence or actually give up and never rise. But to see somebody like that who's kept it up and got a great result, it's bloody heartwarming stuff. It's great.
Greg Norman deserves a lot of credit for that. Obviously, he cops a lot of flack for starting LIV and against the PGA Tour, but he's given this guy an opportunity to come back from darkness, and, mate, how cool.
Nice work, Linny. You've just got your invite back for next year. Well done.
He doesn't work with him anymore.
What about for you, Taylor? Like, you're obviously not a big LIV Golf fan. That's not something you're going to watch. But the story of the event, a story like that, does that engage you in the event? Does it make you...
Yeah, I think that's a pretty great overarching theme that anyone can take in their own lives, right? Don't quit when shit hits the fan. Just keep going. You could end up $5 million richer.
I don't think it's about the money.
No, I'm kidding, obviously. Yeah.
I reckon, I mean, the older you get, the more shit happens in life, right? So it's easy to be an enthusiastic young 20-year-old. But what I really love and lifts my spirit is when you see like an 80-year-old guy or a girl walking down the road, and they've got a smile on their face and they say, morning. Yeah, I was walking down the beach today and there were lots of old people, all of them were saying morning. And they've put that smile on, you know, their body's aching, bad's happened, friends have died, loved ones have died. You've got to choose the way that life will go. And so I admire greatly old folk who put a smile on. So Rick, good on you, mate. You're hanging in there.
I was so waiting for that. So I'm okay in speedos wandering around Bondi Beach. Is that okay?
No, then? That draws a line.
No, that's not okay. It's far from okay. It's a red flag. And it's good. Now, mate, you see me on the photo, it's up on Grindr. I guarantee it.
Well, it was a joke, mate. It was an AI-generated photo. It was a joke. Sense of humour.
I was that close to doing it. I was that close to doing it. Because I saw on Instagram this guy who walks up to people and say, look, yeah, I'm on a blind date and I don't really know what the guy looks like. You're not such and such. It made me laugh. And I was giggling away to myself.
I've seen that.
Yeah. And then Rick sends me a photo of himself in speedos. I'm going, mate, I'm sending you up a profile, you know, and I'm going to put some really bad name with that. And I was actually crying to myself with laughter. I thought it was brilliant.
I'm going to make one on ChatGPT right now.
I'll send you the photo, mate.
Like, if someone has a joke, there's some people that always take it too far, and like, you're that guy, Macca.
You got to be punished. You got to learn that some things are not funny, and as a net result, there are repercussions. Linny learned it, you know, by being called a bald, you know, white Neanderthal. For begging
don't bag the Super Bowl halftime shows.
Don't be doing that. You know, I mean, you've got to have appreciation for all cultures. And Rick, you've overstepped the mark and you're about to learn. Lenny's actually doing it. He's looking down on his phone, mate.
Get away from that. Look, I'm quite a highly respected broadcaster and I would like a little bit more respect from the people that work on the show.
No.
The true professional on the show, apart from Taylor, because I'm too scared to say otherwise, is Connor. So Connor's actually got his own series on YouTube called Off Season, and the show that gets released this week is on Kalen Ponga, and here's a little bit of what Connor got up to over his holidays.
I'm back in Newcastle, a place that was my home for four great years when I was playing for the Newcastle Knights. It's where I got to know Kalen. He's now one of my closest mates and we went through a lot together. Injuries, wins, losses, and even had the 257 podcast with our mate Matt Croker. Kalen's now the captain of the club and was the best player in the league in 2023, winning the Daily M medal. I wanted to check in with him, see where he's at this off-season, how he's spending his time away from footy, and what getting ready for another big year looks like.
It's a lovely day, mate. We don't need to go too hard. Off season, shirts on or off? Right, this is the king of shirt on. I'm surprised he's even on now.
No way. Before we're living together, he used to stop at Macca's on the way home every afternoon. Yeah.
But don't do that. Like, obviously, this is about, you know, being professional and where I'm at now. Nah, don't do that anymore.
As you know, Rick, I'm not sure if the people sort of watching this do, started a production company end of 2024 with my brother and another guy. And yeah, we just kind of come up with the idea through the year last year about doing our own series. And we just wanted to highlight what different athletes, professionals in their fields get up to in their time off.
Now, look, I would like to clarify something I said on the show last week about the Olympic medals between New Zealand and Australia. I was talking about per capita not the actual medal table.
Not the hall.
No, no. Well, that's irrelevant, you know, really, because, you know, Australia's such a much bigger country that you'd expect them to win a lot more medals and golds and stuff like that. So well done, Australia.
Yeah. Yeah. Good on.
Well, the question was, who's going to win more?
Well, obviously you are, because you've got...
Well, you're wrong then.
It's just because you got better snow than us doesn't mean you got better snowboarders, mate.
Did I say that we'd win more medals than you?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure per head of capita was mentioned.
The Canadians are angry because Australia's won more gold medals than Canada.
Really? Holy crap.
Like, Australia's had a hell of a Winter Olympics.
If Australia gets one flipping more gold medal before Canada does, I'm going to lose my mind. They grew up on the beach, bro. The girl that won gold last night, she grew up in Cairns, bro. It's like the Cancun. It's 100 degrees year-round in this town. The guy that won Cooper Woods is from this beach town near Sydney called Pambula. Look at the water. Look at the beaches. Are you flipping kidding me? The girl Bath, who won gold medal snowboarding, is from Coomera. It's a city in the Gold Coast with theme parks and beaches, literally 30 kilometers from where I am right now, and she's beating people who grew up in the snow. How are they doing this, man? Let me put this in perspective. Ever say I'm cold here in Australia? They say to me, bro, you come from a country with snow. You'd think we should be pretty good at the Winter Olympics. No, Australia, way better. 3-0. Come on, baby. Hey, Jesus loves you, baby. Have a good day.
How do these Aussies that are killing it find out that they are good at those sports? Like, do you just wake up and go, I'm just going to try doing that?
Well, they obviously do the sports and then they're good at them.
Yeah, but like some of the sports, so obviously they just go skiing and like
they don't. They don't get up in the morning and stumble out the door and fall into a pair of skis and then go down the hill and jump and go, oh my God, I'm really good at ski moguls.
All right, mate, pipe down. Just asking a question.
Kids.
I went skiing as a kid. Do you see me in Milan at the moment?
No.
Yeah, so there must be something more to it.
Yeah, they're athletes.
Like the Italy cricket team, you know, all their players, they haven't even been to Italy, but they're playing for the Italy cricket side.
Let it go, mate.
If I say, shit, am I going to get sprayed again?
Yeah. Like, you've just annoyed the Hispanics. Now you've got the Italians on your back. You mentioned talking about Canadians. There's been a bit of a problem for them at the Winter Olympics, apart from not winning a lot of medals. They've been caught cheating in curling. So basically, the one guy pushed the stone and then sneakily just gave it a little push with the finger, which is not allowed.
Jesus. So what, did the Canadian put a finger on the...
Yeah, so they pushed it, and then just as it was taking off, they gave it a little push with the finger, which you're not allowed to do. And the Swedes set up a secret camera to record them because they knew they were going to do it.
Ooh.
And the Canadian reacted by telling them to F off.
Oh
yeah.
But they don't have, like, DRS in that sport, so they can't change the decision for cheating.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So they got away with it.
That sucks.
Because when you're pushing it like that, it's much harder, but if you use your finger, you can flick it off with a much more smoother process.
Out.
Yeah, because we're all curling experts now.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, wow. With Silver 60 and unapologetic. Oh. Bold and built an experience.
Don't. Just delete that, please.
What did you say? Looking for? Looking for masculine energy, confidence over chaos, chemistry over slaughter. Oh, I love that.
If you're a man, you know exactly who I am.
That should actually go up here.
No.
You got a shot at true love, Hebrew.
Mark, what are you doing?
1, 2, 3. How many? I was going to say, I reckon the reason the Aussies do bloody well is their attitude. You know, it's just I'd back an Aussie against most other nationalities in anything, really. Just got to never say die. Attitude, and if they're going to get into something, they want to win it. So I'm not surprised to see Aussie doing bloody well. Hats off. Look at it. What? Silver 60, unapologetic. Yeah, shit. Built, bald and built with experience. Oh, this is so good.
Anyway.
Marvellous. I'll send you the photo in the Speedos, mate. That needs to be the cover shot. And then you go to the one with the pin. It'd be amazing. It'll be inundated. It could be the start of something really special, Rick.
Can we
never say never? You're a risk taker.
Can we?
You're a risk taker. Do it for the team. It'll be great content. Every week you can sort of report back on how it's gone. You know, because you'd fall into the sort of grey bear category, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Can we go back to the curling controversy?
Yeah, cuddly polar bear.
You've heard about the curling controversy, Macca?
The Canadians, they double touch. They cheated.
Yeah.
Well, you can't do that. It's against the law, against the rules, sportsmanship, etiquette, all of those, you know, those qualities that we admire in Olympians. They haven't reached the top through skullduggery. It's not like cricket where you can use some bloody sandpaper and...
and underarm it.
There they go. The other big controversy at the Olympics was one of the medalists from Norway when he was being interviewed, I think he won a bronze medal, apologised for cheating on his girlfriend.
Oh, I saw that. What was he thinking?
Wait, what?
Taylor, so he was being interviewed and he said, you know, I made a mistake and I cheated on my girlfriend several months ago. And,
So not whilst in the Olympics?
No, but he told everyone that he cheated on his girlfriend.
Wow.
Having gone out with an ex-Olympian, I can say with, you know, a modicum of authority that it turns into just a beard fest at the end of it. Once you've got the this is Summer Olympics, though, so you're in a slightly more vital state of mind, I suspect, but they huge numbers of prophylactics used in the village. It's good that they're practicing safe sex. I mean, Hamilton could learn from that, but it does turn quite feral.
They got through 10,000 condoms in the first 3 days, I think.
In the Winter Olympics.
Oh, my gosh.
Jeez. What are they putting, like 4 or 5 on to keep it warm?
Just to calm you Australians down, Zimbabwe's a cricketing powerhouse.
Yeah, look, we haven't beaten them in a T20 World Cup. We played them a couple of years ago. Lost there, probably a decade ago, actually. But, yeah, played average. We deserved it. I don't think, obviously, we've had a lot of injuries with our Cummins, Hazelwood. Mitch Marsh has been injured, Tim David. So, you know, we haven't had that continuity going into a World Cup. And, obviously, our number one batter at the moment, Steve Smith, is still not in the lineup.
What's Steve Smith's go? Like, I mean, he's got a face that you don't necessarily warm to immediately. Is he a good bugger?
Yeah, he's a great fella.
Good.
You know,
good.
loves his. There's a method to his madness. You know, there's a reason why he's so good. He just loves his cricket. There's people say there's forms of autism in there because he's just cricket mad. But you know, what's weird, what's normal? Yeah. But your T20 sides, T20 cricket, people just think it's a young person's game. Whereas you look at the best sides in the world, they've got experience in there and we're just lacking a little bit at the moment.
Sorry to interrupt you there, Chris, but just a news update. We've now moved forward a couple of days and Australia's officially been knocked out of the 2020 Cricket World Cup. So, Ian Healy, what's your reaction?
Well, disappointed. You know, and if it was higher profile and our public could really get it on a normal platform of television, we'd be shattered because we put a lot of effort into this World Cup and getting the team right. And then the final 11 that took the field wasn't up to scratch for an Australian team.
What do you mean not up to scratch?
Well, we didn't have enough specialist cricketers in there. Like we had 4 all-out hitters in Maxwell, Stoinis, Marsh, and there was another one there somewhere, and Travis Head. But so we had those types, but we didn't pay the conditions we might have encountered in Sri Lanka enough attention. And the fact that we didn't pick Steve Smith to go with Matt Renshaw to bat their way through the middle order and glue those hitters together was a real disappointment to us.
Let's talk about Steve Smith. I mean, you know, one of the best cricketers of all time. And Australia decided, first of all, not to take him. And when they finally got him over there, they didn't play him.
Yeah, that was weird. They took time to get him in the official squad. We had a spare spot. He should have just been announced immediately into that squad of 15. And then play him, because you could play him as an extra, just, or replace Cameron Green with him. Make a replacement for Steve Smith, no problems at all, because he's a great player of spin. The spin that they encountered wasn't that great either, and he could have mastered that spin and monstered it, so which he had been doing in the Big Bash over here in Australia. So, yeah, very disappointing and bewildering non-selection, that one.
Australian cricket has this incredible ethos of being champions, being winners. You know, that's really important to Australian cricket. I mean, this is something you can't just dismiss, because this is actually hits at the fabric of what this team's about.
No, it's not getting dismissed. That's a good thing about this. But it's a difficult one to make big changes to, because you don't play as a T20 international team very often. So can you afford a separate coaching group, another selector that really has an eye on our short form cricket to go with the other two we've got? I think we're probably one selector short for the amount of workload that's involved these days, with A teams going around the world, injured players here in Australia being managed back into their careers, and exactly how we get them ready for future test matches as well as one day internationals. Then you get injuries to your old boys, Pat Cummins and Josh Hazlewood, then get injured. And to me, we didn't seem to have a set replacement for everyone who becomes unavailable. There should be one right on their backside ready to go if you happen to pull out. But it seemed we're very indecisive. Our batting order lacked specialists, and so too did our bowling. The bowling that we had Zampa and Ellis, but then we had rookie Xavier Bartlett and Marcus Stoinis opening the bowling, and then Glenn Maxwell being Cooper Connolly being frontline contenders rather than part-timers that they are.
And I mean, you've got one of the best 2020 cricket competitions in the world in the Big Bash. Yeah. You know, that's the frustration as an outsider, is like, man, you see the talent right through the Christmas break in the Big Bash, and then to not qualify to be knocked out alongside teams like Ireland just seems crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's very disappointing and surprising. I'm sure the boys are surprised as well how it didn't click. They didn't hit the ball in the middle. And then when we did, when Travis Head and Mitch Marsh got out of the blocks against Sri Lanka, we then didn't either keep that power going or bat with some batsmanship to build a total of 210 rather than 180. Having been one for 110, we needed just another 100 in the back end of that game, and we're probably safe. So it just didn't work for anyone over there. And I feel we need a little more class and a little more quality in that team if we're going to win T20 World Cups. Now, the Australian Big Bash, as you say, is a great competition, but the people that are prospering are big hitters, and they can hit sixes because the wickets are reasonably trustworthy. You know where the middle of the bat is. And the likes of Finn Allen from you guys, that type of player is dominating. So maybe we need to get some traditional players doing a little bit better in the Big Bash as well.
What about the players themselves? You know, I mean, you know, you've been in this situation. I mean, they're going to come home and everyone's going to dump on them, and this is the worst team and not good enough, et cetera, et cetera. But really, you know, it's not their fault. Some of them have been selected and they've given it everything they've got.
Yes, our Australian team is full of hurt at the moment. Mitch Marsh's comments said as much, but they just weren't quick enough to readjust how they played. When you see great players not being able to find in the middle of the bat very often, you know that, we might have to do this a little differently. Sixes aren't easy to come by until you're really in, and maybe the last five overs, if we've got wickets in hand, we can do that. They didn't make those adjustments. They just kept going at these average spinners that did a whole lot of damage against us in the end. So a little more awareness and a lot more adjustment would have been nice.
Just a question, sort of a little bit off topic. I mean, I'm not sure if you've ever, you know, accidentally sent a photo of yourself in Speedos to a friend. You know, it's something that we all do. Would you expect a friend to then put that photo on the Grindr platform? Is that something that's normal behaviour?
Well, yeah, normally I'd do it on purpose, and I'd be very hopeful that that would be the action taken by my good mate. What was I going to say?
Let's stop it there. I think you're revealing a little bit too much. I think we should.
you're denying a purposeful transmission of that image.
I think you've got it wrong. If we can just stop that, can we stop this somehow?
Anything from you, Taylor?
No.
You've got a big sporting story. What's your big sporting story that you were going to tell?
Oh, yes. So apparently Lewis Hamilton is rumoured to be seeing Kim Kardashian. Huge. They were spotted at the Super Bowl together.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they've been seeing like out in public together. Have you guys been across this?
No.
Well, there you go.
No.
I'm just like, if it's true, I'm just a bit worried for his career.
Why?
Because there's a thing called the Kardashian curse. I don't believe in
it. Oh, yeah.
But when you look into it, kind of checks out. Every one of their ex-partners who's involved in sport, once they start dating a Kardashian, allegedly their career can take a bit of a dip. Yeah.
What did you think about the AFL State of Origin, Lenny?
To be honest, that was on Saturday night, so it was a bit blurry.
Surely Victoria takes it out every time.
You'd like to think so, but you'd be surprised. The WA AFL, it's massive over there. I know the Perth Bears are starting up in a couple of years, but the WA football AFL is like huge.
Why don't we call Rick the Surrey Hill Bear? The Surrey Hill Polar Bear. Oh, this is so good, mate.
Laughing at your own jokes again?
Oh, mate, it amuses me. And it's the fact that I've worked with him for so long and he's actually genuinely panicked. He's very uncomfortable and I like it. It makes me happy. And he knows that it's a 50-50. We might do it, we might not, you know.
Oh, mate, I'm saying it's a 60-40 in my mind that you tend to do these things. Oh, you guys laugh away, but I have to deal with this shit and try and make a show out of this. Like, there's two things happening.
There'll be more than two things happening, mate. You'll be right in the middle.
Like, hey, you guys are encouraging him.
I'm not saying anything.
Look stuffy. Look at
him. Oh, my God.
All right. Just before we go, the sport is social. The first clip is about a basketballer. So he plays one-on-one basketball and posts it on Instagram. He gets more people watching his games than the average NBA game.
Holy shit.
So
yeah. Is this MK?
Yeah, MK. Have a look at this. This it's pretty aggressive.
Check ball, big boy. Focaccia boy. Take the ball. Take the ball. Take the ball. Can I have it?
Yeah, thank you.
I'm telling you, Shaq, what are you going to do? You go. Whoa. I do so.
Smells like focaccia.
Come on!
I want to play this guy so bad.
MK can shoot. MK can shoot.
Ooh. Ooh. Game. Bye. Bye.
Would he make more money out of this than actually playing sport? Like, why isn't he in there?
You reckon he's making more money?
No, like, because he is really good at basketball, why hasn't he made like a team yet? Or does he make more money doing this social media stuff and he's comfortable?
Yeah.
Well, I think he played college ball.
Right.
But,
you know, I mean, only a few people make it in the NBA, but, you know, there's this massive sort of one-on-one culture in basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
But to me, it's sort of showing that perhaps this is what the audience is wanting now. They're wanting short clips of aggression and confrontation, shock factor. Really, some people are leaning towards that rather than actually watching the real sport.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's just you just want these little pop-up clips that, you know, and the athlete likes it because they're not governed by anyone.
Yeah.
And they can sort of go off on tangents, like throwing the ball at the bloke's head, things like that. You don't have a coach to spray you.
You don't have, like, a governing body saying you need to be a role model. Like, you can just do whatever he wants. Yeah. It's
and he'll be making – I mean, he's getting – 8 million views a clip, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I watch a fair few of his clips, yeah.
So you're the sort of person that we're talking about that's attracted to what he makes?
100%.
You like him, but you just don't like Bad Bunny?
Well, he talks English.
Queensland's a special place, isn't it?
I'm going to go live where there's no Wi-Fi, there's no social media.
Yeah, don't read it, mate. Don't read it.
Oh, I need to eat something. Didn't eat much over the weekend.
Mate, I've got to go and check the steaks. Have a look at these.
No, it's coming along well. Stay inside because the Wi-Fi is going to drop out.
Just
no, it's good. I've got Wi-Fi all around the house. See?
Except it doesn't work outside. We can tell that.
Mate, you're already breaking up. Yeah.
You don't tell us how your Wi-Fi works. We'll tell you.
Yeah. As he's boasting, it froze. And then it cut out. Oh, brilliant. All right. See you next week.
Oh, there you go. Hey, g'day, guys. Yeah. I've been sitting out there for the last 3 weeks. Yeah. Maybe it's better in the house, eh?
Absolutely.
I'll try the next show from there. Yeah.
Macca.
Yep.
Just to clarify, do not post anything online with my images. My legal team will be around to see you.
Don't send me that. You send me that. It can end up anywhere.
Well, it was a joke.
I've got children who play with my phone.
It's private communication. And
it's way, way too private. That was my point. I think made well.
I've known you for a long, long time, and I feel comfortable in sharing my sort of, you know, my AI photos of myself. But I don't expect you to put them up on the internet, and I don't expect you to create false profiles.
Mate, I know you're actually nervous, right? So... And because I know and love you, I'll acquiesce to your demands. But please desist in sending such, you know, vile things. I have children. If they looked at my phone and saw that, you know, it'd be very difficult to explain.
It's a screensaver now.
You know, growing up, if you wanted to go to watch the NBA, well, you need to go to America. Go and watch it there. Experience the scene. You know what I mean? You want to go to the Kumite, you must be invited by some secret person who just disappears and leaves a scroll. You know what I mean? In some secret location. And if you want to watch Origin, you got to go to Aussie, bro. You got to go to Aussie. So why do we need to take that? You know what I mean? Like, they're giving it up. They're giving us a round back home, and it's very generous, but... I'm a little bit shamos of taking that, my bros. And I know a lot of people are like, oi, fire, what are you up to? Like, you know, it costs heaps to get a plane ticket. Unless it's coming here, we can go and watch it, bro. It's not the same, eh? So in closing, I think it's tapu. Okay. All right, that's all.